Okay, let's get ready for the morning of worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to give you the opportunity to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to our Savior. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom we enjoy in this country. When we study world history, we begin to realize that America is a nation under glass, unlike any country that has ever been formed on the earth. Giving such freedom and opportunity to any and all citizens. Father, we value this freedom, for we know that it was costing to a lot of people. It cost some their whole lives. Father, we value the freedom that we have to worship you and to tell others about you without any fear of our government. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Now before we sing, I want to read to you Trey Gowdy's response to this question. How could President Trump claim to represent all U.S. citizens, regardless of sexual orientation, when he banned transgenders from joining the military? Isn't that discrimination? Here's his answer, and I love the opening line. No one has a right to serve in the United States military. Nobody. What makes you people think the military is an equal opportunity employer? It is far from it. And for good reason. Let me cite a few. The military uses prejudice regularly and consistently to deny citizens from joining or being too old or too young, too fat or too skinny, too tall, too short. Citizens are denied for having flat feet, for missing or having additional fingers. He went on to explain, by the way, poor eyesight will disqualify you, as well as bad teeth, malnourished, drug addiction, bad back, criminal history, low IQ, anxiety, phobias, hearing damage. I love this one. Hearing voices in your head. Self-identification as a unicorn. Need a special access ramp for your wheelchair. Can't run the required course in the required time. Can't do the required number of push-ups. Not really a morning person and refuse to get up out of bed before noon. All can be legitimate reasons for denial. The military has one job, winning war. Anything else is a distraction and a liability. Did someone just scream, that isn't fair? War is very unfair, and there are no exceptions made for being special or challenged or socially wonderful. You must change yourself to meet military standards, and not the other way around. I say again, you don't change the military, you must change yourself. Actually, they do that for you. You don't do that. Ben, how's it good? Good to see you.
I've been better.
You've been better? All right. We know you're fighting the flu. We know you're fighting the core. We know you're fighting studies. And what else you're fighting? Don't tell us. We don't want to know. You're in our prayers. Let me continue. The military is not about being fair. It's about taking advantage of others and about winning. The military doesn't need to accommodate anyone with special issues. The military needs to win wars and keep our country safe. Period. If any of your personal issues or a liability that distract from readiness or legality, thank you for applying and good luck in the future endeavors you might try. Any further questions?
You want to swap?
We have the markers on screen if you want it. Right, they're also in the back of the hymnal, number 5, if you want to go that route. We're in two verses. I'm going to do a couple of bars as a pickup to it, to take you into it. Not a really slow dirge tempo. I kind of like it a little bit upbeat as we sing it. That's the way we're going to do it. Our trio over here will guide you as well. And I'll face the flag as we play.
Ascend.
So proudly we hail as this one us less gleaming, whose bright stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, o'er so gallantly streaming, and the rock.
Jeff, thank you very much. It's very good. Ben, can you come up and give us a few words how things are going for you at school? Good. Thank you. Hey, the military, you got to be ready.
Well, I made it through another month since I've been back, and that felt like a long month. That was a long month. It's really been a long year. okay, so let's see. I don't even know. I've had a couple exams, and I did pretty well on them. So that's a blessing because, yeah, that would be bad. I don't want to fail. And really, like, just right now, my life is still the core, nothing's changed, and so it's taken a lot of time, the intensity's turned up a little bit recently, and just trying to grind to Thanksgiving. Once we hit Thanksgiving, it's gonna be all downhill from there, hopefully, at least I think so, I don't know, and so I'm just excited to finish up the semester, and make it back here and have some time at home again. Other than that, just asking for prayers for strength and focus so that I can get through the next few weeks, or a couple, 2.5 weeks. Other than that, that's all I got, really. Okay, so the reason the intensity got turned up recently is something called core brass. And so, like, basically right now we're trying to earn our spot in the core as fish. And so everybody just gets a little bit more angry all the time, and we work out a whole lot harder. And so after we finish that, then we will have officially earned our place in the core, and everything kind of turns back down for a little bit. Yep, that's all I got.
Appreciate it. Love your haircut. Love that. Okay, let's, before we go into this afternoon, let's talk about that. So what time?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
We will be starting officially. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil's in charge. That's all right. So go ahead, tell
him the time. At Celebration Park in Allen, straight out Bethany from 75, take a right on Angel Parkway. And it's just down the street a little ways. We're in Pavilion A.
75, get off on Bethany.
Yeah.
Take a right.
Take a right.
Go down
east.
To
Angel Parkway.
Angel Parkway.
and Celebration Park is just down to the right on Angel Parkway, just a little ways. We're at the first pavilion that you'll see coming in from that way. Don't go around the back of the park. Just stay on Angel Parkway. And we're going to start hopefully right promptly at 3. And it'll be pretty much the same program we've seen the last couple of years. We've got a couple of different speakers, but same program basically. And we'll honor some veterans and get the gospel out. Hopefully there'll be a few unbelievers there that can hear it. And we're going to turn the volume up real loud so we'll get the surrounding park area as well. And we'll have a balloon release after the brief presentation. That's all there is to it.
Good. Any questions?
187.
Okay.
187 veterans are represented.
How many did we have last year, remember?
It was down last year.
I think 169 last year.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. All right. Anything else? Go ahead.
Well, you can thank Herman for the fact that if you did not get a sweatshirt or a t-shirt and you would like one, we have opened it back up again. And so if you would like to get one and you didn't, I can just send you the link and you can order yours sometime in the next couple of days. It was an overwhelming success in his family, so he's now ordering them for everybody, I think, on a Christmas list. If you would like to get one still, they're still available. Or if you know somebody who you want to get one for. So.
I wore mine the other night when took my grandchildren out to eat, and boy, they were almost full. I thought they were taking off for me in the restaurant. I almost sure one. And so I called Larry and I said, is it too late, I need to order. And she said, well, it needs to be at least 5. I said, that's how many I need. So join in and let's get some more. That'll be good. Okay, any other comments about this afternoon? All right, let's talk about prayer. And any prayer requests? Okay, let's be up. Yes.
We've been praying for Autumn Switzer. She just had her second scan. There was a 20% reduction in her tumor size and all the tumors in her lungs and no new ones. So just overwhelming encouragement for her family. They're thankful for all the prayers. So that is just a miracle working, and we continue to pray for the strength of the faith of their family. And it is such a witness. There are so many people following this, and her parents are posting good days, bad days. I mean, they're just posting their trust in the Lord. It's an amazing witness, so they'd ask for continuing prayers, but good news.
Please be in prayer. My goodness. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I take my mom to the doctor on Tuesday. Since everything with Daddy and everything, she her health is slipping a little bit, and her anemia has come back. And they're going to try and figure out how to get that under control without doing a total like blood transfusion kind of thing. So
we'll be in prayer.
Prayers for that.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough.
I'll let you know how it goes. It's Tuesday.
You are here the Sunday after
we saluted your dad farewell, and I told him, I said, what happens at some funeral services, I find out things about people. I wish I'd have gotten with that person while they were alive. Man, if I'd have known that, I'd have known that. And your dad, just a wonderful person, wonderful life. That's great tribute. Great tribute. And so, all right, any other prayer requests?
Yes. St. Clair's, we need to pray. They're visiting.
Her mom. St. Clair's, Jennifer's mom had a fall, and she's at that age where she just can't afford too many falls like that. So please be in prayer for them. They've got to go up Wichita Falls, back, all they got to do. Let's be in prayer for Julie and Brian. They've got still a lot of problems in Oklahoma. They have to drive to Oklahoma almost every weekend, take care of things with her dad who's now deceased, and then come back and be at work and all that's going on. So let's be in prayer for them at this time. Yes?
Thomas is traveling tonight. He's flying back from Chicago. He just went for a weekend. But just safe travels.
How's he doing health-wise?
He's doing fantastic health-wise. Yeah, he's doing really good. He's starting to prepare for so go back to school, start that kind of stuff.
So. Okay. Let's be in prayer. Yes?
I would also like to have prayers for safe travel for my wife, Natalie. This coming weekend, on Saturday, she's taking a transatlantic flight. She's going to London for a week. So,
well, excuse me.
Just
all
that travel.
It's only business.
God bless her.
I like talking about it. It's not what it used to be, but it's still a beautiful place, and different, so different than America. I've enjoyed every time I've been to London, and a few restaurants I really like there. All right, any other prayer? We'll be in prayer for safe travel. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
I just want to pray for, we're going to start putting together packages and getting cards ready for all of our youth over the next few weeks. We're going to mail those out December 2nd, so Leslie's going to put out a list this week of things we're going to collect at the church. We're going to do 25 packages for the 2019 graduates, our freshmen. And then our 2016 through 18 graduates, we're going to do gift cards and a card.
Good.
So three different ways you can participate. You can bring an item for to put in the packages that Leslie's going to put out. You can donate money to go toward the gift cards. And sign all the cards. And you can donate money for shipping. Our shipping is going to be a little bit hefty on sending those 25 packages out. On top of that, Phyllis made 80 cards. So a ton of cards to sign. 25 for the freshman packages we'll put in there. 25 for the gift cards we're putting in. And then the other one, she made 30 extra cards. We're going to send 10 each to Quentin, Chayton, and Joe that are in the Air Force, for them to at least hand out cards to some of our military to let them know that we're praying for them. So the cards are going to be in the back. It's going to take a long time to sign 80 cards, so pace yourself on that and look for the list to come from Leslie.
And I usually
speak
on shipping so they can donate somewhere else.
Okay, thank you.
Phyllis Musak's a wonderful
member of our assembly and listens to every class from Florida. And she's having, I don't know the word a lot, but she's having some major physical problems, so please be in prayer for Phyllis. Yes.
One more prayer request. So y'all know Joe, Wild Man Joe, went into the Air Force, is going through the PJ Parajumper assessment, special warfare stuff. He made it all the way through the assessment process, all the way to the end, which he said they have very creative ways to destroy your soul. The hardest thing he ever went through. He got done, and he just found out last Monday he did not actually get accepted.
Oh.
So he made it through the whole program, but he did not get accepted into the follow-on to the PJ. So pray for him. He spent the last 6 years, I think, working on trying to get into this program and get through it. Everything from eyesight, to health, to all kinds of things. And now he's got to figure out what he's going to do in the Air Force. So please be a prayer for him and his bride. They've been married just a little over a year, so Carrie. But they got some challenges ahead of them.
Be in prayer. That's a big decision he's got to make, what he's going to do as far as Air Force is concerned, military is concerned. So,
For Joe, sorry to hear that. My goodness, to go through all that and not get accepted. Wow. Did very many not get accepted?
So 113 went into his assessment program. It was 3 weeks long. It's basically the hell week of...
Yeah, exactly.
I think 52 made it out of the assessment.
Really?
I made it out of that
3 weeks.
3 weeks. And then I know there was a handful that did not get picked. Because not only do you have to make it through, but then your scores have to be a certain level in order to get picked to go through the 2 years of training for that program.
So he made it to the 52?
He was in the 52, but he did not make it into the final. He did not. His scores weren't high enough to get in.
He was the oldest in the class, right?
Second
oldest.
Yeah. He was 31, and there was a 38-year-old guy.
Really?
I don't know whether I didn't ask him whether that guy made it, because I would have made fun of him if he...
After what Herman just read this morning, I'm sure it might.
I don't know if he made it.
But it's been a prayer for Joe and his wife and what God wants them to be doing. Any other prayer request? Yes.
Just remember, yes, my dad gets to go in for on the 22nd is when we're going to do his procedure, the chemoembolization.
Okay.
So.
Prayer for Johnny on the 22nd. He goes in. All right. Any other prayer requests?
Lord God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined first of all as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior by grace through faith, and then two, knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us in regard to the use of our time and money. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. People, this is a very small assembly, but God has given us so many wonderful opportunities. I mean, they're just, I just count the blessings that God has given us. Not only the three times to meet here to study His Word in detail, and I mean detail, to the youth outreach, internet, missionaries, and then things like we're getting ready to do with the graduates or in high school and college and military. Just unbelievable opportunities. These things, but these things require some money. So let's go into prayer. Well, Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that you give us. We're ready for more. And Father, we pray you'll receive the offerings we're about to give as you use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Ben, put that in your file. Thank you. Okay, does anyone not have the handout in Christ? Everyone ready for our study today? In Christ. Now, I want to talk to you a moment. Just personal and important. The next few verses in Ephesians 1 are so fundamentally, fundamentally important. They are basic doctrines, basic truths that Christians do not have, and therefore get disoriented on a lot of other things that happen in life and other truths. They're very important. Now today we're going to look at your position in Christ. If you understand this, you will never doubt salvation. You will never doubt your adequacy to serve Him in whatever task He has for you. And then we're going to look at the doctrine of election, which has just thrown so many Christians off on election because of what Calvin did and that ideal and what the whole battle of election. I'll just head you off right now. The battle of election is over the sovereignty of God. That's what it's about. If you don't understand that, you will not understand election from the biblical standpoint. Then we've got predestination. So we've got a lot of doctrines coming up the next few weeks that are so fundamental to your getting and my getting down accurate. And now what I want you to do is, if I'm going through these, you have any question, raise your hand. Help me. Raise your hand. This isn't clear. Can this be clearer? What about this verse? What about that? Let's learn together here. So this morning, let's take a look at in Christ. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes so that you can grasp and understand what we're going to be studying here in this verse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, but sometimes it's so confusing. Sometimes it looks like it's contradicting itself, but it's not. But it looks it. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, it's too harsh to absorb. We need your Spirit. We need the third member of the Godhead to open our eyes and we can see the truth and the blessedness of your plan. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're through with salutation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What in the world does that mean? Well, we're going to find out. Blessed be the God. We saw last week that this word blessed is used of deity in the New Testament, and only deity, never of human. But the astute question, what about Mary being said to be blessed in Luke 1:42? Blessed are you among women. The Greek word used here is a different word than used in 1:3, Ephesians 1:3. Just head you off at the pass. It's a different Greek word. Here in Luke 1:42, the verb blessed is the participial form, means blessing received by one. While in Ephesians 1:3, the Greek word refers to blessings due to one. In other words, God is the only one who is qualified to be worshipped as God. And that's what the word blessed means. Now, any question on that? Because you do have this phrase, blessed are you among women. Okay. Blessed be the God, even Father, of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. That is a reading out of the Greek, the order of the Greek. We ended our last study on the importance of God being the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how this impacts our prayer life. But the phrase, God the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, is so important. For this is the key to the entire plan of God. You'll recall that in our last study, this sentence presents the entire plan of God, according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, coming up. And Jesus is the focal point of the plan and will of God the Father in all history, from Adam and Eve to the end of Revelation, the end of the millennial period, all and into eternity. Now, in early church history, this was the subject of a great deal of debate. Does this mean that Jesus is less than God? This is not that he is not deity. Does this mean that God the Father is superior to the Son? Now, to share with you, this is how the first 500-600 years of church history went, and it's still going on today. There's still various denominations and people who contradict the Word of God on the deity of Christ. This is a great doctrine that you have to decide, do I believe that? Do I believe that He is God? They can't prove it. Do I believe it? Okay. Now, these are some of the major issues in early church councils were called, and leaders of the early church pastors, theologians, were asked to come and state and defend various theological views in an attempt to arrive at an orthodox set of beliefs for Christianity. In the process, creeds were developed for use in churches. At one time, orthodox was the desire of those who studied the scriptures. Today, we have other words like fundamentalism and things like that. Now, the first church council was the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. Nicaea is located in modern-day Turkey. The issue at this council was the relationship of Jesus Christ, the Son, to God, the Father. Was Christ of the same essence and nature as God? It came to an orthodox decision that Christ is eternal and of the same essence of God the Father, which is what we believe, although distinct in His humanity. While this was the decision, in 325 A.D., this doctrine is still debated by many people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God and man in one person. I didn't put it here, but let me just talk to you. It's fundamental. Fundamental. Why is it important that Jesus be God? Because people, if He's not God, then God needed a member of the human race to provide salvation. If He is God, since He is God, God does not need man to have any part of our salvation. It is totally the work of God. That's the fundamental battle going on if He is not God. Now, let's continue. Today, yes?
So, follow-on question to that. Why is that imperative?
All right, because if God needs man, which that would be your claiming.
Needs or uses? Because God uses man all the time. I'm not disputing.
No, I know what you're... I appreciate it.
God uses man all the time to accomplish things that God wants done. Why is it imperative that Jesus Christ had to be God?
All right, if this is the only way of salvation, that would mean that He needed man to provide that salvation. And that limits God. That belittles God. God now needs man for His plan. And the whole thing of Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 14 is that one sentence, and it presents the total plan of God. And the total plan of God is void of needing man. That's one of the major things we're going to see. He does not need any man to work. That's why it's always faith for salvation, spirituality, anything. It's faith. That's the total plan of God. If He needs man, it weakens God. He is no longer God. Yes. Do what?
If God were to need man, doesn't he lose the argument with the second?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. There are a lot of things, reasons. If we lose the argument, I'm just trying to simplify. But yeah, it's a Satan issue too. Okay. Today, any other question? I'm not in a hurry. Okay. Today it is fundamental, orthodox, refers to that which is right according to a recognized standard and a commonly believed. Fundamental refers to belief in basic truths of God's Word. Fundamentalism came about as a reaction to liberal church teaching in the 1800s. In the late 1800s and early 20th century, fundamentalism came forward with these basic truths about God's Word. Now let me give you a word here. It doesn't take Satan long to intrude on truth. In fact, I'll tell you right now, Harvard was founded in 1636 to train men to be going to the ministry. In less than 150 years, it has gotten so liberal, that the president resigned and went off and formed another seminary somewhere else. But it's so difficult for an institution, church, school, family, person, to remain faithful for over a period of time. Satan is always battling. People, it's tough for marriage to stay together. If you're married, you've got to fight. But marriage is not easy. It's a battle. And then when you put in the spiritual warfare, it compounds it. And Satan loves nothing better than to break up Christian marriages. He thinks that's a feather in his cap, if he can break up a Christian marriage. There's always these battles. He's got to do this. So, in the 1800s, liberalism started slipping into the churches and all, and I think it was in 1885, a group of men met in Chicago, Illinois, and started talking about, we need to get back to some fundamental. They didn't have that key word then, it was just a word they used. And then in 1893, they met at Niagara Falls, and eventually just came forth with what you and I call fundamentalism. Fundamental truths of the Bible. Fundamentalism is the narrowest meaning of the term, was a movement that began in the late 19th and early 20th century within American Protestant circles to defend the fundamentals of belief against the erosion of effect of liberalism, theological liberalism, and that has grown within the ranks of Protestantism itself. Source, and can't put in a source for you. All right. It was begun by men such as James Gretchen Machen. Virgin Birth, which is a book by Machen, still has not been answered. It's about that thick, but I'll guarantee you it is a phenomenal piece of work. Machen's book, The Virgin Birth. And liberals still cannot answer it. And Lewis Berry Chafer, that's why he founded Dallas Theological Seminary in 1919 here in Dallas. He was going to form Dallas Seminary in Philadelphia, but Schofield had his church here and got with him and said, please come down here and we'll work with you and all. So Chafer decided to come to Dallas and meet with him, and they were sitting in an office over on Swiss Avenue very early, and they just didn't have the money. And so the men went into prayer, and they were in prayer about the money if God really wanted a seminary. Secretary knocks on the door. Chafer got up. He said, we're having prayer time here. And she says, I think you'll want this. And she gave him a note from a man from Oklahoma and said, I just so committed to what you're getting ready to do. I want to invest my money and pay. I want to pay for everything. And so he set up the finances to form Dallas Theological Seminary. In its foundation, he had only theology, church history, missions, Hebrew, and Greek. His idea was to train men to study the Bible and then go back to their denominations and teach the Word of God. Well, what happened was men started graduating from Dallas Seminary, went back to their churches, and the churches did not want them. Did not want them. Well, here's a man, gifted, trained, prepared, knows his Hebrew, knows Greek, ready to study and teach, nowhere to go. So he just hung up a shingle, Bible Church. And that's how the Bible Church came about. Now today, a lot of Bible churches are not Bible churches. It didn't take Satan long to pollute them. But that's how all of that came about, from that type of beginning. All right, five basic beliefs of fundamentalism. And there are many others, but these are the five basics. Man's sinfulness and inability to save himself. The deity of Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith alone. Crucifixion and resurrection of Christ as the basis of atonement and regeneration. Sole authority of Scripture. And of course, other things, but these are the five, what they come up with, five fundamentals. If you want to be fundamentally accurate with the Bible, these are the things that you've got to have. Now, as to the person Jesus the Christ, his deity is denied by a multitude of people and religions like the Islamic religion, the Jewish religion, and having said that, I already had given this to Kit, I saw on the Kooning Report that Netanyahu's son, who's 23 years old, has just given a report defending the Judaism of Jesus. I personally believe Netanyahu is a Christian. He has a Bible study in his home every week, and I believe that he is, but he'd be cutting off his head if he told anybody. But he needs our prayers, and he needs our prayers. He's under a battle, just like Trump is here. He has the same thing going on there. So please be in prayer for Netanyahu. Okay, now, he is to be understood as undiminished deity and true humanity in one person without the loss of either identity. I got that quote from R.B. Thieme. I think it says it precise, concise, and beautifully. Just says what needs to be said in this respect. In his total person, he is equal to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In his humanity, he is under God, his Father. Jesus Christ is a member of the Godhead, chose to become a member of the human race so that the human race would know God and to provide a way to have a relationship with God the Father. Therefore, the great words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's why he came. But he is God, and as God, he made that decision. That's very difficult for a lot of people to comprehend. A person with an IQ of about 155 can't comprehend that. I'm just kidding. So, therefore, they've got to deny it. He can't be both. And that's the kind of mentality that is going and being wise and became fools. That's the kind of mentality that denies the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. They can't comprehend that. And it's just what you've got to do. Well, I don't know, everybody's got to do their own way. What I did before I even started going to Bible church, just I understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand the Trinity. I'm 77 years old. We're going to come to the Trinity. I still don't understand it. I believe it. The humanity, deity of Christ, if you can't comprehend it, don't worry about it. Just believe it. That's my advice. Believe it. It's truth. It's fundamental. Now, the religious leaders at the time of Jesus understood that he claimed to be deity. For John 5:18, for this reason, therefore, the Jews, the religious Jews, were seeking all the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. They understood it. That's what he's saying. So, whether you understand it or not, they understood it. Now, the designation Father refers to the function of one member of the Godhead, of the Trinity. It has nothing to do with superiority in character or nature. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit exist equal in character and essence. But the Son, Holy Spirit are subordinate in function to the Father in the function of communicating to the human race God's total plan. That we can understand this in our own mind. Now, we're in the section of this sentence which deals with God. First, we noted his relationship with Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God, even Father, of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Now we come to his relationship with believers. Verse 3, second part of verse 3 to verse 6. Verse 3, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What in the world does this mean? Or better, what out of this world does it mean? Because it talks about the heavens. So what does this mean? First, let's identify the subject. Who is the one doing the blessing? It's God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one doing the blessing is the only one worthy to be praised. And here, he is bestowing blessings. Now, let's see what he is doing. The verb, in other words. The aorist participle. Aorist participle. Why in the world does he bring that up? Okay. Aorist participle. Blessed is different from the word blessed that was used to describe God. The word used to describe God refers to the Father who is worthy to be praised, while the one used here refers to one who is receiving blessings. Alright, the subject, God, the verb, having blessed. Let me just tell you right now, done deal. This is not talking about future blessings. This is a done deal. Having blessed. Now, upon whom does he bless? The personal pronoun translated us, refers to every single believer, individual who believes in Jesus as their personal Savior throughout all the church age. And the verb in the aorist active participle should be translated having blessed us. And the aorist participle is a nomic aorist, which means this is regarded as an absolute throughout all the church age. And the clearest way of translating this verb is to provide a benefit, a blessing, but let's to make it clear, provided a benefit. Here are spiritual benefits. Throughout all the church age, God provides grace benefits to everyone who believes in his Son as Savior at the moment you believe in Christ. This is not something we anticipate receiving. There are things we do anticipate receiving. Rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. This is not something you anticipate receiving. It is something that has already happened to you if you believed in Christ as Savior. That's why I said this is so important. This is yours, what we're going to be looking at. It's yours. This is not something we earn. It's freely given to every believer by the grace plan of God. And it is given the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. You do not earn it. You do not deserve it. Having blessed us, or having provided us with every spiritual blessing or spiritual benefit. Now, we've identified this as an aorist tense, as a nomic aorist, stating an absolute throughout the church age. That's what nomic means, absolute throughout church age. But this could also be, in Greek, a culminative aorist. I told him this morning, I'm going to say it again, I know I've told you this 100 times, bear with me for just 10 seconds. I was told, go to the seminary, learn Greek, and all your problems will be solved. Language is what you need. I learned Greek and Hebrew. It compounded the problems. Just compounded them. This didn't solve anything. I mean, you know, oh, wow, it's an aorist tense. What kind of aorist? What do you mean, what kind of aorist? This is a genitive. What kind of genitive? What do you mean, what kind of genitive? Oh, there are over 20 different kinds of, oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm going back to basket weaving. See? This is unbelievable. This is what you have to do, though, when you're studying the Word of God. So, this is a gnomic aorist, but it could also be what is called a culminative aorist, culminating everything. Here we have a culmination of all spiritual blessings. So, it's gnomic in that it's an absolute throughout church history. It's culminative in that it culminates all, and I'm going to tell you now, 34 blessings that God gives us. So, at the point of faith in Him. So, here we have a culmination of all spiritual blessings that come to us in our Christian lives. Not just those we receive at salvation. This is an aorist participle. We're not through with that yet. And the action of the aorist participle comes before the action of the main verb. Now, here's where I had a lot of fun. What's the main verb? The sentence goes from verse 3 to verse 14. There are a lot of verbs in there. You got to go back and find the main verb. Where's the main verb that this precedes? The action. See? So the action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. The main verb is coming up in the next verse. He has chosen us in Him. Here is the wonder of the grace of God. First, He provided every spiritual blessing that He would give to everyone who believes in His Son. He did this in eternity past. The point of what I was taught, divine decrees. When Father, Son, the Holy Spirit got together, divine decrees. You see it in Genesis, let us make man in our image. The three members of the Trinity. In the doctrine of divine decrees, they got together. And these things were decided. Then He chose His Son. Then He made the decision to choose everyone who was in His Son by faith. He provided spiritual benefits. Now, that's a simple statement for a lot of damage coming up in a few moments. A lot of trouble in the whole sentence. But all I'm simply saying is, He decided, I've got a package here of some spiritual benefits, some blessings. I'm going to give one of these packages to every person who believes in my Son as their Savior. So, I choose to give you this because you're in my Son. See? So, that's what's going on here in this study. Now, the main verb, He has chosen us in Him. Here's the wonder of the grace of God. First, He provided every spiritual blessing that He would give to everyone who believes in His Son. He did this in eternity past. Then, He chose His Son. Then, He made a decision to choose everyone who was in His Son by faith. He provided spiritual benefits, this package. Then, He chose us. Please notice, which came first? Chicken or the egg? Which came first? The blessing came before the person. The blessing came before the believer came. He designed the blessings. And then the believer came. See, then the Savior came, then the believer came. So, please understand that. This is already formed. Okay, the blessing came before the person. I'm going to use this periodically because to me it makes it so clear about election, predestination, all that, which we'll have to cover. But, it's like a mom and dad. Mom and dad get together. Okay, here are the simple things that we have, depending on your economic status. Here are some things we have. What we want to do is we're going to give this to whomever our son, and I'm picking on the son because of Jesus Christ, whomever our son marries. We're going to give this to her. It involves some jewelry. It involves some rings. It involves just a lot of things we want to give her. Whoever she is, we're not choosing her. He's going to have to do that. We're going to give this to her. That's what God has done. So Jesus comes along, and you and I believe in Jesus. We're in Jesus. God the Father says, oh, okay, now you get this. We don't earn or deserve it. I don't earn or deserve that. I'm a sinner. I'm no good. But I get this gift. And everyone who believes in Christ gets this package of these blessings, these spiritual benefits. Every believer gets one. Okay? Is that clear? Okay. Then he chose his son. Then he made a decision to choose everyone who was in his son by faith. He provided the package of spiritual benefits. Then he chose us. Why did he choose that? Because we're in his son. Please notice which came first, the blessing before the person. Before we were chosen, we were blessed. How about that? That'd be like, here's a girl dating your son, and she's already got all the stuff that you've been putting away for her. She doesn't even know it. Doesn't earn or deserve it, but it's already being prepared for her. That's what God did for us. See? Here, I've got this all for you. You're marrying our son, this is going to be for you. That's what God has done for us. Okay. The election takes place in Christ, not outside of Christ. He chose us in Christ, not outside of Christ. In other words, we were chosen or elected once we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. We are not elected or predestined before we believe in Jesus Christ. I'll cover all of this in detail, just kind of giving you an overview so it'll flow easier for you. God does not predestine anyone to the eternal lake of fire. God does not predestine anyone to have eternity with Him. What kind of God is that? We choose where we wish to spend eternity. In heaven, with God, in the lake of fire, separated from God. It's your choice. You get to choose. See? It's that simple. I've used that in witnessing. I remember the gym. I used to go all the time. I need to get back, but I don't. But anyway, I don't believe that. I'm going to do this. I said, fine. Then you choose to spend eternity in a lake of fire for the rest of eternity. What? That's what you choose. You're choosing it. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe it. Doesn't make it not true. And I turned around and walked off and finished my workout. I don't know if he ever believed in Christ. I prayed that he did. Okay. Then we shared the election of Jesus Christ, His Son. Before we were chosen, we were blessed. Therefore, this depends on His perfect essence. This is how much importance God places on His providing each one of us with those spiritual benefits. People, believers, you are perfectly provided for by God. Which came first, your election or your blessing? You might think, well, first I have to be elected, and then I can be blessed. Wrong. God provides the blessing, then you're elected. And learn about this. This is the way God always does things. First He created the world, then He placed angels in it. They polluted it. And so God froze it and restored it again for man. Genesis 1:2, the earth became formless and void. We know that He did not create it this way. How do I know that? Isaiah 48:5-18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. The word for waste place is the same word used in Genesis 1:2. God created, same word for creation. Then here's the key. Did not create it a waste place. This is the same Hebrew word used in Genesis 1:2, formless. So, He did not create it as it's described in Genesis 1:2, formless. It became formless after the angelic rebellion. Then God restored it and prepared it for mankind. Once it was ready, then God brought man on the scene. God always prepares before he brings the believer on the scene. This is God. This is likened to a groom who prepares a place to take his new bride. You don't walk out of the church, well, where do you want to go now? No, got a place. It may not be a great place, but it's what he's got. See? That's where he takes her. And that's what God did. I got a place for you on planet Earth. Now, people, do not speed read past the adjective every. There is not one single believer in Jesus Christ who is lacking in anything or in any way to fulfill God's plan. The believer has everything he needs to fulfill his or her destiny in Christ. Not IQ. Sometimes I wish I had a higher IQ. And then I think, you know what, I'd probably get in trouble with it. See? I'd probably become too wise. I'd become a fool. Not abilities. Often I pray I had better ability. I just would love to have a voice Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. I'd love to have a voice like him. I've got some tapes of him reading poetry. I love it. I would love to have a voice like he's got. I'd mesmerize you. You wouldn't learn anything, but you'd be mesmerized by the voice. Okay. Not physical assets, mental assets, and so on. Nothing. Not one of you are lacking in anything to fulfill God's plan for you. And there's the kicker. God's plan. And we just saw in our 9:15 class, learn to be content in what you have, in God's plan for you. You've got to be content in that. How are you content? Spiritual love. Spiritual love deals with reality. Spiritual love deals with who and what you are. Spiritual love will not allow jealousy, envy, to get in there and disrupt your contentment. The believer has everything necessary. Here's your God. He designed a plan to make every believer happier than he or she could ever dream he or she could be in their lives. I like the way Elizabeth Barrett Browning worded it this way. God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame. It is amazing how believers will take drugs, alcohol, and think that is happiness, or engage in all kinds of activities, even sin, because they think that is happiness. Well, that's not happiness for you as a believer. God the Father desires to make you perfectly happy, inwardly happy. That's what he desires. That's what kind of father he is. I love that old woman that reared me. She didn't care if we were brilliant, smart, successful or not. Every one of us, I just want you to be happy in life. That's what a true father, a true mother wants. And God says, I want that. I want that for everyone in my son to have true happiness. And I've got a package here that will guarantee it. He is qualified to do it. He, God, is qualified. He provided everything we will need for true inner happiness in eternity past. The only reason that believers do not enjoy this happiness is because they make decisions from their own volition not to. We make a decision not to be happy. When you're not happy, chalk it up. You're deciding, I don't want to be happy. You're not content with who you are in Christ. We know just enough about God from creation. But to know Him, we must know His Son, who came to earth to reveal Him to us. What I'm saying here is what we saw in Romans 1. Everyone has enough to know God exists by creation. He put that in every one of us. Every creature, every human being has this ability. Many deny it, but they have it. But if you want to know more, you've got to go to the text. You've got to go to Jesus Christ. He came to reveal the Father to us. So, to arrive at this perfect happiness, the trail goes something like this: empowerment of the Holy Spirit, so that you can learn the Word of God, which takes us to Jesus Christ, who takes us to God the Father. There's your travel. There's your journey. Starts with the Holy Spirit, taking you to the Word of God, takes you to Christ, which cannot be known outside of the Bible, takes you to God the Father, which cannot be known, who cannot be known outside of Jesus Christ. Then we have another adjective, spiritual. The Greek is pneumatikos. Oh, wow, that's impressive. I didn't put it there to impress you. Just put it there because we have a lot of words that stem off of pneuma. Pneuma deals with spiritual. See the pneuma there? That's spirit or spiritual. Why are these benefits described as spiritual? First, just to give you the idea, blessings in the Old Testament were often in the material realm, a Davidic covenant, the land covenant. You have a land, you have a nation, all these things. Paul is making a distinction between the age of Israel and the church age. This is why understanding dispensations is so important. Failure of properly understanding dispensations is why such false teaching as replacement theology is so acceptable. Failure of correctly understanding the end times has to do with the failure of grasping dispensations. Simply stated, a dispensation is an era of time during which man is tested in respect, testing of your faith, in respect to obedience to some definite revelation of God's will. Or as Ryrie states in his book of Dispensationalism Today, a dispensation is a distinguishable economy in the outworking of God's purpose. I thought mine would be a little clearer for you than that. There are several different ways of wording or identifying the various dispensations. Again, for simplicity, I have the following. There are some people who come to seven or eight different dispensations. I have just four in the following. Innocence, Adam and Eve in the garden. Then the dispensation of the Gentiles. Begins with Adam and Eve out of the garden to the end where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob come on. The beginning period of conscience. Some people call this the dispensation of conscience. I just call it the dispensation of Gentiles. If you like dispensation of conscience, that gives you more clarity. All right, and accountability. In this period, the divine structure was the family, with the husband or father as the spiritual head. Then the dispensation of Israel, or the Jews, under the structure of the priesthood. Some people do not call it this, they call it the dispensation of law. Listen, I do not believe that. I think there's just as much grace from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to the cross as there is to us today. So I believe just to call it the dispensation of Israel from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to the crucifixion of Christ. This period started the calling out of Jews under Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, remember all three. Islam claims descendants of Abraham, which they are, but they're not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's the big difference. They're not the same God. Now, God, Allah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, not the same God. Jacob, to the rejection and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The day of Pentecost began the dispensation of the church. So we have innocence, Gentiles, Israel, church. This period will extend from the day of Pentecost to the rapture of the church. In this period, every believer is in full-time Christian service. People, that was not true in the Old Testament. I look forward to meeting some Babylonians saved by Nebuchadnezzar's track that Daniel told us about in Daniel 4. Nebuchadnezzar wrote a track, and people all in his kingdom came to believe in the coming Messiah. And they're going to be there. Now, once they believed in it, that was it. That was it. It's gone back with their life. But they're going to be in eternity. Not in the church age. Church age, every person who believes in Christ is now in full-time Christian service. Got news for you. A suggestion. Just a suggestion. Don't tell that to somebody you're trying to lead to Christ. That may be a downer. See? But it's a true fact. that every person who believes in Christ is a full-time Christian service, indwelled by the third member of the Godhead. Depending on the person, I probably wouldn't tell some that either. The Holy Spirit. Now, but the pastor-teacher is responsible for the teaching of the Word of God. Now, in the age of Israel, it was the Aaronic priesthood. In the age of the Gentiles, it was the fatherhood. Age of Israel, the Aaronic priesthood. Church age, pastors of local churches. So that's the structure, the dispensation of the economy that God has set up. Now, after the rapture, our taking out of believers is a 7-year period, which is called the tribulation. But in fact, the last 7 years, these are the last 7 years promised by God to Israel in Daniel. After their return from Babylonian captivity, God promised Israel 390 years, which they experienced 383 years, at which time they rejected Jesus as their Messiah and crucified him. Therefore, they have 7 years yet to be fulfilled. These 7 years promised by God will take place under the designation of the tribulation. If I were one, I'd say you could just forget the last 7 years. But that's the way it is. These are going to be years of tribulation. The 7 years will be terminated by the second coming of Jesus Christ, ending the tribulation, and will introduce the last dispensation, being the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he is the high priest and the King of Kings. At the end of the 1,000-year rule, will come the great white throne judgment of all unbelievers. This will be at this judgment. They will be at this judgment not because of personal sins, which were taken care of at the cross by Jesus Christ, but because they refused to believe in Jesus as the Savior sent by God the Father. Now, so here we hear and we learn more about God. He has a divine plan. He provides everything necessary to fulfill His plan. This is grace. This is the thoughtfulness. This is the love of God. Ephesians 1:3, having blessed us, done deal, or provided us with every spiritual blessing or spiritual benefit. So the first reason these are called spiritual blessings is to make a distinction between the historical period of the Jews and the beginning of the church age, the period of the church. Most of the blessings were material in the age of Israel. People, never, please don't ever get sucked in to evaluating, well, God must really bless them. Look at their house. Look at their children. Look at the money they have. Look at their success. Look how many people they have in their church. Look how many people they have this and that. Don't ever do that. You're dealing with the age of Israel when you do that. In the church age, you want spiritual blessings. That's what you and I are rich in. Spiritual blessings. They were not rich in it. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We do. So, this is a wonderful period of history you and I live in. The second reason is to draw attention to their immediate source of being from the Holy Spirit. These spiritual blessings are given by God the Father, but they are administered to us by the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritual blessings. Much as the reason we study spiritual, we call it spiritual love. We call it spiritual love, for it comes only through a new spiritual creation. A person has believed in Christ as Savior and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is vital that you know how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit comes by grace through faith in the Holy Spirit. The Greek word pneumatikos occurs 26 times in the New Testament. And almost every time it refers to some function of the Holy Spirit. Okay, 1:3. Blessed be the God, even Father, of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Having blessed us, or provided us, with every spiritual blessing or spiritual benefit. I hope that by now, you're starting to think a lot more about God the Father than maybe you did before we got to verse 3. In heavenly places, in Christ. What does this mean? Come back next Sunday and you'll find out what it means. However, you could cheat and read. But don't cheat, don't read, and we'll cover this next Sunday morning. So, any questions? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are. We humbly bow. We cheerfully bow. Your essence, your character, is beyond our dreams. We cannot even fathom a God like you. We praise you. We worship you. And, oh, Father, we worship your Son, through whom all these blessings are given to us. How amazing you are, God. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for caring about our happiness, our peace on earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing for that peace and happiness when the circumstances of life are not peaceful. There are so many Christians being persecuted throughout the world today, in China, Nigeria, India, and throughout the Middle East. But as we read and hear from them, they have happiness. They know they have eternal life, and they ask us to pray that they will just have the strength to continue to trust you. What an awesome God you are, Father, that you can bless us, make us happy, and you can bless them and make them happy. What an awesome God you are. Father, we thank you for the freedom we enjoy, that we're not persecuted for understanding you as the God you are. Father, we pray that these things can be used to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.